Welcome to bonus episode number 2 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast. It's time for me to rock.
Snake. Who is this?
My name is Chris. I do a podcast called Interactive Distractions with a couple of buddies of mine, Jason and Jeff. We just did a show about your new game, Metal Gear Solid 4. We talked so long about the game, we had to split the spoiler portion to another show.
Another show?
Yeah. Well, you see, Jason, Jeff, and I are all big fans of the game, and we went on and on and on. We just couldn't stop talking about how great it was. Like that the graphics were the best around, and the sound? Perfect. And the story? Incredible. Like that one part with the minecart and the really great frame rate just before—
Damn it, Chris. Get to the point.
Right. Sorry. Well, as I was saying, we talked for so long we had to shorten episode 31 and make another show.
Another show?
Snake, why do you repeat everything?
Repeat everything?
Forget it. Just have a listen. And I hope you enjoy what we have to say about Metal Gear Solid 4.
Do I die at the end?
Why the hell would you ask me that when you're You know what? Never mind. Just listen and find out for yourself.
All right, let's enter spoiler mode.
Woo!
We are going to go and act at a time.
He's a dead person. That's why he can see dead people. That's why the kid can see him.
We're going to go and act at a time, and we'll try and keep... I mean, I'm going to try and keep stuff contained to the act that we're talking about. So,
yes.
You know, if people are listening just up to where they are, they can do that. But I am not going to promise that that's going to hold true.
So let's start out with Act 1. Makes sense.
What happens? Give us a recap, one? Chris. What happened?
You're in the Middle East and you kill people. On to Act 2.
Okay. Well, what gets revealed in Act 1 that's new? That's not new.
Well, you get to... You find out why Snake is old.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's and it's, you know, it has to do with, well, you kind of find out why he's old. You find out that that they expect that he has some sort of disease that's making him age rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because he's old and he hurts his back all the time. And he's like, oh, my back hurts.
Yeah. Oh, stuff he's like feeling that. It every once in a while if you don't move.
Yeah.
Well, my initial impression of like Act 1 is you get dropped into, you know, the install, which is kind of cool and stuff, watching snake smoke. And then you're greeted with these weird-ass commercials, like television commercials.
Yes.
I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, it kind of sets the stage for where the world is at right now.
Yeah.
Or at the time, you know, PMC's kind of, and war is rampant, and you know, things are just kind of messed up. So... that kind of gets you in the mindset. Kind of like RoboCop. Did you guys see RoboCop? They had weird television shows and stuff.
I did, but it was a long time ago.
But you're sitting here, you know, you're watching the cinematic where you're coming in, credits are rolling and shit, and then all of a sudden your HUD pops up. And you're like, oh, fuck, I got to play this? Oh my, that wasn't a cutscene. This is in-game?
Yeah.
Dear Lord. Very exciting stuff.
Then you crawl under the truck and another cutscene?
Yeah, that's pretty much right.
That's all right, though. It's just like the intro.
Yeah.
It's not bad. How did you guys like playing with this old snake, though, throughout the game? Before, we might as well touch on this, because it isn't really... I thought it was pointless myself.
It really didn't change anything. Oh. You know, I mean, I never really felt like there was anything different between playing old Snake and young Snake.
Except for the sporadic, like, you know, when you're coughing. Crouching around, and he'd like... Yeah. He's like, oh, my back.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was referring to earlier. But the one thing that I have to ask you guys is, what's up with the stress meter? I never understood exactly how that works.
It was just basically... the psych meter? No, the stress meter.
No, not the psych meter, the stress percentage.
That's what it is. That's your psych meter.
No,
you mean the percentage. The percentage.
Yeah, the percentage was a stress percentage, yeah.
Hence the reason I said stress percentage.
Gotcha, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I honestly paid attention to that in the first act, and then never again. Yeah, that's what it would happen, yeah.
Okay.
If your stress
is high. But when it hits 100%, don't you get combat high?
Yes, I think so.
Correct. I only had that happen once. Yeah,
my psych wasn't. I had it happen once or twice, I think.
But
I just, yeah, so You're going through Act 1 and trying to think of like specific points where, I mean, I guess the Act 1 is getting you acclimated with the controls and everything, but
yeah,
so correct. Nothing huge with the story happens. Well,
you get introduced to the Rat Pack with like Meryl and all those guys.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And right. Akiba becomes a main character, which is kind of, we'll get onto him later, but
yeah,
he's the one who's crapping his pants and he's got stomach problems, which that was a little bit over the top at first. I'm like, oh my god, they actually
way
show
over the top
pants.
And yeah, a little pointless bit. Certainly, yeah. I mean, there's always that bit of comic relief in all the MGS games, and we had Drebin, you know, we're introduced to Drebin as well. That's probably the but even before that, you know, when we hook up with you know, Mark II, you know, we get all this stuff with Otacon. But yeah, certainly afterwards, you know, we get to the Drebin stuff and the crazy monkey drinking the Coke. And
wanting to smoke your cigarettes.
And wanting to smoke your cigarettes.
Drebin was an awesome character, though, I think.
I mean,
whether you like him or not, he was just a well-designed character, and he played his part well.
Yeah.
From the acting standpoint, I think.
I don't know. It's like he was just playing a part.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't any, like, emotion behind him. Like, he was just doing his thing, what he was told to do.
Yeah.
Well, you mean as an actor?
Yeah. No, as far as, you know, it's a spoiler show, right?
Right.
Yes.
You know, the Patriots told him to go out and find Snake and support him or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I never got the real deal from him.
No, I don't even think they're really supposed to know, really.
Right.
Besides, to do that. But did you guys like the mechanics behind him, though? Did you guys like the ability to just call up him up at any time, get weapons and ammo?
Hell yeah, that made the game so much easier, to be honest with you.
We should have
touched
on
that before. Oh shit, my suppressor's gone. I'll just buy another one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I have my main, the main sniper rifle that I run around with right now. I've got like 10 suppressors for it. It's like, I'm never going to round.
Yeah.
That was something that pissed me off in 3 an awful lot. So you had the one gun with one suppressor, and it's like, you know, the more that you use it, the faster it goes away. And when it's done. And you're like, fuck. Yeah. So that happened to me in this game, and I didn't realize that you had to actually buy suppressors. So I was ecstatic when I found out.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that is so cool.
Yeah, and I like that you can customize your guns with, especially like the one that Drebin gives you.
That's
the one he gives you. You can put stuff on the sides. You can put stuff on the stop, on the top, the bottom, on the front of the gun. I mean, I've got this big ass gun with a grenade launcher and a laser sight and a scope, a flashlight, and a suppressor.
I actually use that gun the most in the game.
That's what I use too. I basically just use that and a couple sniper rifles and stuff and the trank guns.
Yeah,
the only thing you couldn't buy though, you know, is with the chaff grenades.
That pissed me off. Couldn't buy those. Needed them at the end.
Yeah, because I was going to say the ending would have been way too easy if you could use those.
That's true.
Through Act 4 and 5, though, there's a couple of points when you're just like, man, I'd really love to have my chaff grenade right now.
I actually never used them until Act 4, so I was lucky. That sort of thing made Act 4 a little bit too easy for me.
Oh, shit.
I didn't use any of them until then. I know.
See, I didn't get any until Act 4.
It's like, really? Maybe that's when I got them. I just knew I had 4 of them or 3 of them, and I was like, I wonder if this will work, and we'll talk about that later, but it worked, and Act 4 was ridiculously too easy for me.
Anyway, we'll get to that.
I was going to say, but back to that old Snake thing, I don't think, unless Kojima was trying to make a statement or try to make a reflection on his own life or whatnot, I don't think there's a point to having Snake old at all in this one. And I never, once I got the camouflage to have young Snake with a headband or whatever, I just kept that on the rest of the game. So unless the cutscenes had to have old Snake in them, which really weren't too many, then it would always be like the young Snake, because I didn't see the point. It had no effect really on gameplay, or no one else was had that same disease, so it wasn't like him and Liquid were, you know.
I just used the head camo the whole time.
Oh, did you?
Like the mask? Absolutely. Yeah, because it actually increased your percentage while you're on the
head.
And what I thought is funny is, you know, and a lot of the way that most of the cutscenes work is that whatever you're wearing, that's what he'll be wearing during the cutscene. Well, when you're wearing the head camo and you get into a cutscene, he smokes the cigarette through the head camo, which
funny.
Is pretty entertaining. But yeah, I actually like that part of it, the game, that it does use the camo that you're using. I just wish they would keep you holding the weapon you were holding. Yeah, that's right. Something that all of the Metal Gears have done in the past. No matter what you're holding when you enter a cutscene, you always have the pistol in the cutscene.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. It's a nitpicky thing, but you know, it would be more immersive that way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Especially, you know, since it is real time in a lot of them. Most of them. I don't see why they couldn't keep the weapon on you.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Weirdos.
What else happens? The frogs. You get introduced to the frogs in Act 1. Which right. are basically the private army.
Did you guys kill or did you suppress them?
Oh, I killed the hell out of them.
Yeah. First time through, I killed the hell out of them.
Second time through, I suppressed them all and got my little frog doll.
Fucking ass. They take a lot more hits than anybody else.
Oh, yeah. They're really cool, actually. The only thing I don't like about them is that they're all women. And I'm not sure if that was like they meant to do that or if they just figured, why not? I think it would be cool to have like both male and female, but that's just a minor little gripe.
I'm not sure why they did that.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Weren't they directly associated with the B&Bs or no?
I think so. I just don't remember how. And even in the second time through, I can't remember how.
Yes. Okay. What good are we? We're going to talk about Metal Gear 4 for a couple hours, and we're not really going to tell anyone anything, because we don't really know what the hell happened.
Well, the only thing that's really huge with Act 1 is when you get to the end.
Right.
Yes.
And you see Liquid, you see Naomi, and all of a sudden, you know, Liquid waves his hand or whatever, and all the PMCs go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And they kind of... Yeah, including Snake.
Control.
Yeah. And Meryl and the rest of the Rat Pack.
Yes.
The only one who doesn't is Akiba.
Right. Exactly.
Which, that's the first little exclamation point above my head about Akiba. You know, aside from the whole pants shitting thing.
exclamation point above your head.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, he's not reacting to this. What the hell's going on with this guy? So.
Yeah. See, I knew what was going on with him. Like as soon as you get through, the building where you meet the Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. And you know, cause she actually starts talking about how the rest of the Rat Pack can, you know, read her thoughts pretty much. And they see what she sees, but Akiba never keeps up. And at that point, it was like, well, then he doesn't have nanomachines.
You thought that? For real?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I might have to call bullshit.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
If you want. But and then once you get to the end of Act 1 and they go through that whole deal, and it's like, well, there you go. He's got no nanomachines.
Mm-hmm. Which also doesn't make sense because he was in the first game. He was the dude that Meryl steals the clothes off of, right? He's the guard. Now, didn't the guards that were in Shadow Moses, didn't they have nanomachines in them as well?
Yeah.
I think they were supposed to.
Yeah, they were supposed to.
So somehow he got through the system when he was on that side of the fence, didn't have to get the nanomachines, and then somehow when he joined Foxhound, he somehow dodged that bullet a second time.
That's bullshit. How the fuck do you get into Foxhound without them knowing every little thing and having total control over you? How did he just sneak past and say...
Twice.
What the hell?
I didn't say it made sense. I just said I knew it, what was going on. I mean, I think it's a retarded story element, personally.
Yeah,
but
it was pretty dumb.
It's there.
I think they could have used that. I guess we might as well like not jump to that part of the act, but you find out Akiba was that guard that Meryl stole the crap off of, and, you know, the suit. He was the naked guy. You see his bum all blurred out, like in a corner. And he joins Foxhound because he's in love with Meryl. And, yeah. And he's still shitting his pants. 15
years later. His pants. I think he actually had... He was probably the one that had diarrhea in the first game, too. Yeah. Sitting in the toilet, talking about Meryl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he probably was.
Oh, that new chick, she's pretty hot.
I don't remember that part. I definitely have to go back and play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so then... Let's see. You move on to Act 2, and... Mm-hmm.
You're looking for Naomi, basically.
Right. They go to South America because they find out that, you know, they hear that Liquid went there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the... Then you get the message from Naomi that Sunny decodes, right?
Well, I think you got that in the mission briefing.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
That's why you're there looking for. So yeah, we get to South America, totally new venue. Very cool stuff. Same kind of rebel versus PMC thing going on, the militia versus PMC. And once again... I think it's cool that, you know, as you help the rebels, they kind of fight for your side, or rather they just kind of create a distraction for you and make your game a little bit easier.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which is neat. For sure. So you still have those two options. You can go through run and gun. You can just sneak.
or you can help out the rebels and have them serve as a distraction. So mm-hmm. there's lots of different ways to go through your typical A to B scenario.
How did you guys get the rebels on your side and at the beginning of Act 2?
Or Act 2?
Yeah.
I didn't the first time through. But I ended up dying later and ended up going through and replaying it. But then on the second time through, I actually shot the people, the PMCs that were holding the rebels hostage. And yep. as soon as you shoot them, then the rebels get up and they're like, get their guns. And then they yep. do as their namesake implies and rebel against their captors and kill them. It's awesome.
Yes. It was pretty cool.
And that's exactly what I did too.
I gave them, I think I snuck around that part. Like I went around the far left trying to avoid anyone I could. And then you get that second area.
I didn't see it the first time.
And I was wondering, I'm like, why do I hear people behind me? I'm getting all freaked out because I was running. And I turn around, all of a sudden a bunch of rebels run up. And I guess they were the guys in the first area that I guess escaped. So mm-hmm. I didn't like get to help them move back right away, but I just gave one of them a ration. Then all of a sudden they're like, hey, thanks, man. And they helped me out from that point on.
Incidentally, yeah, like the rebel uniforms in that same, in that first area in Act 2, but it's off to the right side. Whereas I went around the left side the first time.
Yeah, my first time through, I picked off the guys that were trying, that were going to execute the rebels. Mm-hmm. And then somehow there was one PMC soldier that didn't get involved in the little firefight that happened.
He was a little
so
busy,
as I'm sneaking
he?
Around, all of a sudden my alert goes off. I'm like, what the fuck? They're all dead. And I turn around and there's this one guy that's, you know, pacing back and forth. And you know, I took him out. I actually missed the rebel disguise the first time through.
So did I.
Yeah. Second time through, I found it.
Yeah. Did you guys use the Mach 2 at all? Mark 2?
I didn't. Hardly ever. I thought I'd use them a lot, but it wasn't until my second playthrough that I started using them.
Yeah, I didn't use it. I used it once in the Act 1 when you have to go to the militia base because I didn't make friends with them at that point. So that part was actually pretty hard for me because I'm trying to get through this base and anyone who saw me was like, oh, let's kill them. And it was like ridiculously hard because there's so many guys in that part. So I had to send the MK2 around and just zap everyone before I progressed. That was the only time I ever used it.
And I had forgotten all about him.
Yeah, me too.
he's in your inventory, but I never equipped him. And they actually don't tell you that you can control him until you equip him and turn him on. Mm-hmm. And then Otacon comes on and he says, you know, you can use the Mark 2 to do this and this. Like, thanks for not fucking telling me how to use
telling me right away.
It's like, here, take this, it'll help you. And it's like, okay, great, how?
So of course you move forward in this is like the first boss battle is Act 2. You fight what's called Laughing Octopus.
Well, let's go before that. You hook up with Naomi, right?
Yes.
And she starts telling you all this shit about the nanomachines that you've got in you, about how they're an older generation and how you're a walking time bomb.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And she basically, you know, gives you all this information about how, you know, within 3 months, you're going to be a walking, you know, mass destruction, weapon of mass destruction. And I always think it's funny when you're in the middle of a cutscene and all of a sudden the life bar comes up and the psych meter just goes down. It's like, Yeah, but... So they tell you all that, and then she gives you the syringe that you see her injecting herself with at the end of the first act. And
it's a
then says
syringe,
right? And then says that she wants you to, or that you tell her you want to know where Liquid is, and she says she wants you to get her out of there first.
Right.
And then she tells you she's being watched, and that's where we get introduced to the first boss.
Dun dun dun!
Laughing Octopus. What'd you guys think of this boss battle?
Cool.
Probably the best in the game.
Oh, you think so?
I'm with you there, actually.
Yeah. I'm borderline between this one and the Mantis one. Because I really liked the Mantis one. The problem with that is that I don't think that I liked the Mantis one because of the battle itself. I liked the Mantis one because of the throwback after the battle was over.
Yeah. And that's what I didn't like about it, is that it was kind of some of the same
contrived
stuff. I mean, there were some cool... We'll get to that, I think, later.
But yeah, this was probably... I mean, this boss battle had me on the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Big time.
It was freaky. How'd you guys beat her?
First time through, I didn't even use my night vision the first time through, to be honest
with you. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's because I didn't realize that It wasn't until after the boss battle when you get the call from Raiden about using the night vision as a thermal goggle as well. Yeah. So I didn't even register in my head that the night vision could be used the same way. And the reason is because I tried to use the night vision in part 3 to see the fear, and it didn't work. So when I saw that it was night vision, I'm like, well, night vision is the same as thermal. So I just didn't use it. Yeah. So it took me a long-ass time to beat her. And it was hard. And it freaked me the hell out, because every time I would, like, all of a sudden, laughing would be coming out of one of my surround speakers behind me. You know? It's like, dude, what the fuck? And you turn around and you're looking, and she's not there. And
she's right above you.
Right.
Yeah. You're like looking around. Like, she should be right in front of me. It's like that scene in Aliens when they're like in that room. And like all the aliens are closing in. They're like, they're 10 meters away. They're 9 meters away. It's like, that's impossible. That would be inside the room. And they look up and they're all like inside the rafters.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Same deal. I was pissed about the frogs, though. That pissed me off. Because it's like, right, I hate those fucking frogs.
Oh, that's right. You had to fight them before she came in. That's right.
Yeah. That's a pain in the ass.
Actually, I found my second playthrough, I found an easy way to take them on. So you don't have to even worry about it. What's that?
Sit under the bed and shoot their ankles, or what?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did.
Yeah,
I hit under the bed, and you can actually line up under the bed so that you can still get headshots off. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if they don't see you, they just run around the building in a circle. So eventually, they're going to come to that door, and you can just blow them in the head at the door, pop in the head.
Sexual innuendo.
Number two.
One of the favorite parts was the life-size Mark II. Did you guys get that?
Oh, yeah, just, like, that was awesome too. Yeah,
but there's like bombs in front of him and stuff. I never got hit by the bombs or mines or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
I was always around the other side at that point.
She became a life-size Mark II.
Yeah,
Mark II. I never saw that.
She did. It wasn't like life-size. Oh, it wasn't
like human size. It was huge.
Yeah, it was about double the size or triple the size of the Mark II itself.
Yeah.
Oh, so really? You see it like running around. It's like, holy crap, Mark II is huge.
And I never saw that. I never saw that at all.
Yeah, she does that. She does basically mimics a dead soldier on the ground.
Yep. Yeah. She mimics the air conditioning things.
She makes it look like it's her on the ground, like she's captured Naomi.
Hmm.
And then she does the paintings.
I thought she changed her face to Naomi. Well, like she was Naomi or something like that.
Right, but you still see the tentacles. So it's almost like she's captured her. At least that's what I got out of it.
Okay, all right.
But I saw her from behind. So I saw like the tentacles, and then I saw Naomi pop up. And then she hides inside the little paintings that are around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome, too.
Yeah, just an epic boss battle. It was really freaking cool.
Mm-hmm. That's when it took the longest for me as well. That was a long fight for me.
Definitely took the longest for me.
It was also because it's cool. Like, I think that you had to use the night vision basically to actually be pretty effective against her.
To be really effective.
And it took it took me forever to even remember about the night vision goggles. So that's probably one of the reasons why it took forever for me to beat her.
Yeah, you can imagine how long it took me to beat her the first time through without using them. It's like I had the solid eye on, but it was only on normal mode. So I would see like the radar. Yeah, the distortion when sounds were made. Mm-hmm. But what really freaked me out is that a lot of the times when you hear her laughing, the area that will like highlight on the screen will be directly over you. And it's like, fuck, you know, and it's just great effect. It was just incredible battle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All in all. Yeah, I think that may have been my favorite one, too. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
What about what did you guys think the first time that you saw the armor fall off and the chick pop up and start chasing you?
I thought that was freaky
as as hell.
And I didn't track the first bitch either.
That was gonna happen. Yeah. I did because you know she kind of had that moment where she was like remorseful or whatever, and she's like, I don't need to laugh at, and you feel bad for her, and it was probably just because I have a penis and she's hot. And I'm like, oh baby, it's okay.
She's also the hottest out of them.
Yeah, agreed.
What's that?
She's also the hottest out of the four.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay. In any case.
Sorry, continue.
Well, you can talk about your girl when we get there, Chris.
Yeah,
that's right. We can't.
But I felt bad, and I actually tranked her that first time. I didn't know that she could actually get anything for it until during the cutscene, you know, when she kind of curled up into a ball and Snake checked her pulse to see if she was still alive. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I wonder if I actually get anything for this.
And you do.
Yep. You get the face camo for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And the face camo is not nearly as hot as she is.
Correct.
No?
Because it's got weird, like...
Oh, the chin thing?
Yeah, the chin thing going on.
They all have that. I didn't trank her because I didn't even think of it. I was like, she's coming at me. I'm like, I'm shooting this bitch in the head. I'm just going to...
Yeah.
There, then afterwards, like, wait, this is Metal Gear. You don't have to kill anybody.
Yeah.
So I didn't get her camo. I got everyone else's, though.
Did she ever get you?
No. I didn't let her get me. What happens?
She just basically hugs you. And you have to, like, get her off.
Get her
off.
Sexual
innuendo.
She's just like, I just want a hug.
Yeah. But you have to push her off of you. And, you know, she ends up on the ground. But it didn't do any damage to me or anything. So I don't know. Oh, I mean, that's
it does. It
weird.
Ticks it away.
Does it?
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Okay.
You don't realize
I do that know that if you run away from her, everything turns black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And... shit just starts going nuts. Like, you'll hear all kinds of weird voices and everything going on in the background. And then when you see her, she's hauling ass at you.
Yep.
You know, she's not just, like, doing her normal walk where she dodges every once in a while. She is literally hauling ass at you.
But still shaking her hips.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you guys see the little Easter egg of if you play the iPod at that part, she'll start dancing?
I absolutely saw the video of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently... there, you can actually do that in the game. I didn't, but
well, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I actually saw a screenshot where she was making out with Snake on the bed.
Are you serious? That's funny.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how you'd do that. I don't know if you'd like let her grab you right by the bed or something like that, and it would just kind of flow into that. I don't know.
I don't know how to do that. I don't even know. I saw a video of Snake searching a body that was on the ground, like patting him down, and all of a sudden, like. Stuff. I don't know how to do that. I was like, "How do you do that shit?"
Oh, you have to hold him up.
Hold him what? No,
you have
no,
to
like,
hold them up.
He was knocked out on the ground.
Yeah,
like he was. The dude is already knocked out, and Snake walks over the body. And
are
then
you sure he was knocked
him.
Out?
Positive. Just it's actually at the beginning of this week's last week's one-up show. It's right at the very beginning.
Did it have stars? He had a stars above his head, or
yeah.
Z's?
Yeah, stars.
Yeah, I've never been able to do that when they're knocked out. But you can hold them up, and then you can search them while they're held up.
Cool. But that being said, with the whole thing being cool with the Beauty and the Beast thing, I kind of wished for everyone they did something a little bit different. Because after that, and after I realized the second one was going to do the exact same thing, I kind of knew what was coming. I'm like, okay, I beat her now. Come on, start walking towards me. So I got to shoot you about five more times, and we'll be on our way.
And then
I would like to
take
a little
kind
bit
of phone call from Drebin afterwards, you know. Exactly.
Where I can listen
like,
to him
time
talk
for another
for
bedtime
minutes.
Story. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how this girl
I
is
go to bed.
Some crazy
I
shit
like
happened to her when she was a girl. And now she's crazy.
She's a teenager full of angst. She's been listening to some My Chemical Romance.
I really
romance.
Like that they did that. I mean, it just seems like better character development. I mean, I understand that it has nothing to do with the storyline or anything, but... I mean, I actually found it interesting that they put that much time into
they
you know,
had
creating
to,
this backstory.
They were weak bosses, I think.
Yeah, I thought they were too.
I think the battles
overall, the bosses
were cool, but as far as personality is concerned, they were no fucking Vulcan Ravens in
at all.
They had a carbon copy Psycho Mantis. They needed to throw in a little backstory, and
The one they brought back, which is a very easy boss fight, Vamp, was so much more personality, so much more interesting than any of the. The beauties.
I mean, come on. It was tacked on. Yeah. They needed to do that.
Like,
to
you're not
a little bit of depth.
Yeah, you're not going to hear anyone talking about these boss
them.
Battles.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I like the octopus, Laughing Octopus, the best, because it was like Raging Raven, what's it called? Crying Wolf and Mantis. Mm-hmm. Well, Mantis was different too, but Crying Wolf and Raging Raven basically beat the exact same way. Find out where they are, shoot them till they're dead. There was nothing you had to really do to bring them out or to kind of you didn't have to do anything special with them. It was just aim and shoot when you saw them, aim and shoot when you saw them, avoid their attacks. Like there
they were kind of cool. At least they weren't as, I don't know, I liked them better I think than you did, but
possibly.
I think the battles by themselves were okay. I don't think there was anything really really truly that original in those. But they were fun.
And they just didn't have any person. Yeah, they were never... They were just there. You only saw them by themselves. They weren't really there with any of the other main characters, per se.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the one scene with Octopus and Liquid. That was the only one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it just a bunch of PMC soldiers? I can't remember. Right at the beginning of Act 2. But
Act 2.
Yeah, when she gets on the back of the truck and they drive away.
Oh, yeah. When she starts messing with all the rebels.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Vamp. I think Vamp's in that scene, too.
Yeah, Vamp is in that scene.
Yeah.
But they don't interact at all.
No, no.
Well, he throws a knife at her.
That's true.
That's about it.
It's like, hey, what's up? Not much.
So after the boss battle, mm-hmm. You go looking for Naomi, and you have to actually do some tracking.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking Act 3 now. So
yep. No, this is still Act 2.
This is
still,
oh no, sorry. Act 2, the tracking, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing, is because and I'm going to get to this when we get to Act 3, but mm-hmm. boss battle and gameplay after boss battle before the end of the act, so mm-hmm. I just want to mention that before we get to Act 3, but mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you guys think of the whole tracking bit?
I thought it was fun. At the same time, I didn't like it because it's kind of like a pet peeve of mine when games look so good and they make you use night vision goggles to make it look like a black and green blur. It's like,
that was a disappointment because you had to use that throughout that whole segment for the most part.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn. Yeah.
And the only reason is because you could see like the regular footprints, but the ones that Naomi was leaving were so like faint that you couldn't really see them very well with, you know, just seeing the ground with your eyes. So, and that was kind of disappointing. I agree.
But it is the best looking. I thought that was the best looking level in the game overall.
Really?
That it was, yeah, oh yeah. That's when you're crossing the bridge and the stream's going underneath it, and you got all the trees and the
gorgeous.
Yeah,
and you can sneak up behind the frogs. I'm not disagreeing.
I can't pick a favorite level out of there. I thought it was
because there's always parts where it's just like, wow, this is really good.
I gotta ask, did you guys find the crop circle?
No, I didn't. Is that where you follow the hands to that?
Follow the hands? No, I didn't see any.
Did you guys find the hands?
No, if you find the hands, you follow the hands, and the hands leave to like cement. You know, like you leave your handprints in the cement.
Yeah.
It leaves to like a bunch of those.
I
don't know who they were though. It's like the names on there.
I saw that, and I'm like, this just must be some kind of in joke that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
Quickly,
I didn't find the crop circle though.
No, there's a crop circle right before, you know, the main river that you actually have to walk through right before you start seeing the frogs. Mm-hmm. I think if you stick towards, like, the left side, you'll see a crop circle in the grass. It's probably shortly afterward, and Raiden tells you, you know, make sure that you check, you know, the grass to see if somebody's walked through it. And you see mm-hmm. where the blades are, like, pushed down. So, anyway, shortly after that, you walk, and there's a perfect circle. And it looks just like a crop circle. And you walk into the middle of it, and mm-hmm. you get an audio flashback of when Campbell was freaking out at the end of MGS2.
His voice was starting, he's like,
I looked up in the sky and there were two strange lights. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what
the fuck is
going on?
I missed that too.
Very strange. Look for it next playthrough.
Will do. That's pretty much Act 2. I mean, you get to you end up finding Naomi and she's with Vamp.
Yeah.
You know, Snake shoots Vamp in the head and he gets back up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here comes Drebin.
Well, Act 2 is also the scene. Oh, okay, now you're getting through it. Never mind.
Yeah, and then Drebin shows up, and you jump on the his car.
This was one of the first "Oh my fucking god" moments.
Why is that?
That whole chase scene. It because it's so exciting and very very cinematic. It's very similar to one of the end sequences in Part 3. Where you're on the motorcycle and, you know, as, you know, Eva's driving, you know, you're turning around and shooting people. So it's similar in that respect. But this is the first time that you're able to, like, really take on the geckos. And there's tons of them. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, you know, zombie PMCs coming at you. And they're crawling up the side of it. And it's just, like, it's nail-biting. And it's like, fuck!
Yeah, because you're always... I always use the mounted gun, mm-hmm. you know, to take out the geckos, and all of a sudden, like, this thing will jump on my back or something like that. Yeah. You have to get off the mounted gun, and you have to CQC them, and then, like, knock them off, and then get back on the mounted gun before the geckos come and ram it.
Yeah.
Sexual innuendo. Getting good at those. But yeah, I actually thought that sequence was pretty cool. I really like the cinematic effect of when he first shows up, and he starts, like, just sweeping under the gecko's legs and tripping him up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was really cool. And then, of course, you're introduced to Raiden.
Oh, yeah.
And Raiden is a total badass in this game.
Yeah.
Total change from 2 and the subtle jokes of his I don't know, sexual preference in MGS3.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys played through to that part, but anyway.
No.
Play through to what now?
To what? They had one of the generals in MGS3 that looked exactly like Raiden, and it was implied that he was a homo.
Nice.
Just saying.
But no, Raiden is badass in this game. In fact, so badass, I wish you got to take control of him at some point, but you don't.
Nope.
Which is probably, like, I think Jason said that Kojima probably did that on purpose, just to be like, you know what, all you people hated Raiden too.
That's right, it's probably a big fuck you.
You just have to watch him be a badass now.
Yeah.
That's all you
it's
get.
Like, so this is what you get for all the insults that you gave me when I put Raiden in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, though.
it was redeeming. He was completely redeemed, I think. I'll say
God, yeah.
Vamp is still really annoying, though.
I love Vamp.
I can't stand
him. I think he's one of the best characters in the game.
He's not a personal favorite, but I think he's a good character. Anyway.
He
serves his purpose.
Act 3, which is a weird act and very short.
Yeah.
This is where it kind of, I don't know. We got the whole film noir thing going on. Yeah. It takes a different turn. You get go ahead.
This is a stealth act. This is one act.
Oh, definitely.
You have to be stealth. You cannot run a gun through this.
Yeah.
You just can't.
One of the things that happened to me on the second playthrough is, you start out Act 3 and you get out into the city, mm-hmm. which I believe they modeled after, like, Prague or something?
Something like that. Yeah,
Eastern
the
European
city is beautiful, you know, but you get out and you're following this resistance soldier to find out where their base is, mm-hmm. their camp. And one of the things that happened to me is, you know where the helicopter is at the spotlight?
Yes.
Shortly after that, he goes into this alleyway and he tries to sneak behind two soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tranked the two soldiers and he went down another alleyway I followed him down that alleyway and he comes back and turns around and comes back the other direction. And he saw me and he pulls out his gun and he starts shooting me and I trank him. And then after he goes down and goes to sleep, I start patting him on the back to say, get up. And I wait until he's got like one little Z going up. And then I run around the corner and I wait. And then he wakes up and just continues on his way. I'm like, oh, don't be suspect about what just happened. That's okay.
Yeah.
that was probably the longest segment, though. And that it is kind of forced to do it stealthily.
Yeah.
It took me forever to get through that. And
me too.
I don't know. That's kind of where the pace broke a little bit for me. You know, I said that because the first two acts are so action packed and exciting.
They really
this is the one where it just like, all right, let's take it down a level. Let's sneak around.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting though. I liked it how you can let the resistance guy get caught. And sometimes I just let him get caught for the hell of it, and then you have to like snipe the guys who are holding him hostage, kind of thing, or you're gonna take him away. I just did that for fun every once in a while. But it kind of screwed with your head, like the part where he kind of goes into that alleyway, comes out. He starts like he's dressed up as a PMC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
I was he turns
fire, still whistling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he turns like one corner, you know, he meets up with a group of them. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right behind. You know, he's got to be that soldier right at the back of the pack. And then they all start walking at the same time. They slowly branch off one at a time in different directions.
Yeah.
Did you guys like follow all the wrong ones first or?
No. You can use solid eye.
Solid eye.
If you pull your gun
out
and actually target them with your gun, it'll say. You know, whether they're a PMC or someone else.
Oh, for
blue
real?
Blue is generally okay. You know, the red ones are always the PMCs.
Right. I should have done that.
So, he was actually the one in the front.
Yeah, which didn't make sense, though, because I was right behind him when he turned the corner, and I turn around, I'm like, obviously he's the one in the back, because he can't be the one in the front all of a sudden.
Hear him whistle as well.
He stopped. I had a lot of glitches in Act 3, like sound glitches. Like, even though I was already following him, every 3 minutes, Otacon would always be like, oh, they have a resistance member they found in this district. I'm like, I know I'm following him.
Following
the same guy. Yeah, it was like every 3 minutes. It was annoying as hell.
Huh, that didn't happen for me.
Solid eye. Get rid of the scanner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you had the scanner equipped still, that's probably why.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, so once I equipped the solid eye, I didn't hear Otacon again the entire time. Except when he changed into the PMC outfit, and he goes, that PMC soldier is weird. And is that whistling?
He's whistling. He's very happy.
Yeah. Hmm. And when he asks if it's whistling, I hear Crystal, you know, she's sitting at my computer working on something, and she's like, yeah, and it's really fucking annoying. But yeah, I thought that the sequence after you get to the resistance camp, where he starts CQCing everybody.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I was like, I want to do that shit. That's awesome.
That was actually better than in Metal Gear Solid 3. When he takes on, you know, the, what the hell are they called? Otacon, yeah.
The Ocelots?
The Ocelots. There we go. Yeah, when he takes on like 10 of those guys.
Yeah.
That was badass in of itself. This is even better.
Yeah, it was. I think so too. Because he was using the guns like to as blunt weapons basically the entire time. And yeah, that was good stuff.
I kept saying, I'm like, why the fuck can I do this in the game? I
know. All I could do is slam people into the ground.
All I kept asking is, why the fuck is this snake out to be old? Yeah. I still think that was just like a thing just because he could. I think it was to put a stamp to say this is really going to be the end of his thing. Because he's old now. He can't do the same stuff he used to.
That's right.
But apparently he can. Better than he used to be able to.
So the whole Big Mama sequence is just...
Are you talking about the action sequence or the long...
No, the cutscene.
The 1 hour long drawn out. They explain dialogue. All of Metal Gear 3.
That's pretty much.
Well, and a little bit of Portable Ops too.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a brain massage moment. It's just like, it would, that was filling gaps. I guess, which is good, but
it was long though. That was, think that was the first cutscene from that till the end of that act was, I think, a good 2 hours.
And
you only play for 5 minutes.
They did have, you know, the one big reveal in that, you know, Eva is
Big Mama,
Snake's mother.
Yeah. Snake's mom.
Oh, Snake's mom. Liquids, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
which was always kind of, I don't know if it was implied or anything like that, but I always suspected.
Did you?
Well, I did.
I never saw that coming.
She's a slut.
She's like, a slut.
I want the bosses, baby.
Yeah. Want them in my belly.
See, I haven't finished part 3 yet, so maybe by the time I finish part 3, it'll be more obvious. But I didn't see that coming at all.
Really? Mm-mm. That's interesting. Oh, before that, though, actually, what were the roly testicle ball things called?
I don't know.
Oh,
with the human arms? They walked into the resistance area, you know, like the trench coat and the hat and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could see them during the cutscene when Big Mom is talking in the background every once in a while. But did you guys see them during your walk to the resistance?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I died one time and I replayed the level and I did see one. It kept poking its head out from behind a bush.
Are you serious?
And it freaked the fuck out of me because it was before I had been to the end of that area.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what the fuck was going on. No clue. So because I took a different route, and this is actually right in the main like park area when he comes back to like take a piss.
Yeah.
It's on that same bush that that they keep taking out from.
Piss.
Do you remember that when he's walking through the park? That. He doubles back and he's like, "Oh, that was a close one."
I do remember that. Yeah. Very cool.
So being you have to be on a certain side of the park to be able to see it. And then
when
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you were saying because I was about to go back to the cutscene.
Okay. Whenever you pull out your weapon and you point it at the sky behind the bush, that's when they disappear. They'll go back into the bush, and then you'll go up to the bush and you look around. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Keep my eye out for it the second time.
Yeah, it was very creepy at first. Go ahead, Chris.
When you're in the cutscenes, and you know it says to hit L1 to go into first person view.
Mm-hmm.
During the cutscene, when the little things came out, did you guys happen to hold down L1 past the time when you were looking at Snake?
I'm
not sure that I did.
Because after it goes through like the entire sequence where you're looking, where Snake sees them walking, it'll actually give you the view from their view.
Oh wow!
Oh really?
It'll actually show Big Mama talking to Snake with it's like it's got a whole HUD display and everything like that, and you're actually looking through the little sphere's eyes.
Neat.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. I'll check that out.
But yeah, big reveal. She's his mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Big Boss is still, quote unquote, alive.
Right.
And he's a vegetable. But the nano, he's only a vegetable because the nanomachines are making him that way. Mm-hmm. And she's got his stubby body. In the back of a van. What's up, stubby? And then they get caught and they're trying to, you know, then they have to make their getaway. Mm-hmm. So, and then awesome. We get to the motorcycle sequence.
Yeah. And this is one of those, you know, like in-game action sequences that I was talking about that like totally blows away any of the just watch me cinematics, except for at the end of Act 3. That was a big one, but totally cool.
See, I didn't like this sequence at first.
No.
And the reason was because it takes Snake so long to point the gun from the front to the back.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you're using this little Uzi that only holds 20 bullets, so you're constantly reloading. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that you can switch guns while you're on the bike, because I didn't think that... I thought, oh, well, this is the only one that has infinite ammo. But it's not. Any gun you use that only uses one hand will have infinite ammo at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So I pulled out the guns that the frogs use.
Yeah, the P90s.
Yeah, the P90s, they have like 50 bullets in a round, in a clip. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was just taking everything out. It was like, yay, I don't have to reload every 2 seconds.
Pretty much. Yeah. That bit me in the ass, though, because I was, you know, shooting behind me at one point. And, you know, there's a couple points actually where it goes into like a matrix, you know, bullet time slowdown effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I missed both of those because I was pointing backwards. Yep. And all of a sudden, everything's going slow. And I'm like, okay.
Why is everything going slow? And you don't know because you're looking behind you.
I caught the ass end of it at the first instance, and you know, I'm like, oh wow, that was awesome. But then the second time that it happened, when like the car comes flying up over you or something like that.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
Missed the entire fucking thing. I was so pissed off. I'm like, that would have been so cool, first person. Damn.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm still annoyed that it takes him so long to just move. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I mean, I thought the sequence was pretty cool.
Nice.
So after the motorcycle sequence, we get to this. The last cutscene in Act 3 that's really long.
Really long, but really epic as well.
It is really epic, and it's really cool. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it's basically Meryl comes in with all of her army people that she said she was going to do, and Snake was right.
Yeah,
because they're all incapacitated. And what did you guys think about that whole... I mean, part of me was just like, just... freaking shoot him already. You know, it's like, why are they not? It's like she said to drop their guns like 18 times.
Yeah.
And nobody ever did. It's like, just shoot the bastard. What are you waiting for? I don't know. But then again, you know, what else would happen with it? We wouldn't see like all the stuff we're going to see with the rest of the game. So,
yeah. And it would have taken a 45 minute cutscene and made it 40 minutes, and they didn't want that. They had to go with that.
All right. So, how cool was it when Ocelot was actually pointing his fingers at people going bang, bang?
Oh, I thought that was cool.
That was kind of cool.
Badass. Yeah. When he took control,
when he took out the choppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And they had that one scene where, you know, the like in the background, the P90's gone, but and you know, the bullets actually look like they're coming through his fingers. Did you catch that?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
nice touch.
And awesome. He's actually moving his fingers like at the same kind of timing. I was like, and Crystal actually was watching at that time. She's like, please tell me he's not shooting bullets out of his fucking fingers. And I'm like, no, he's not. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
I thought it was awesome because I thought at first I was like, oh no, they're gonna make this another over the top cutscene where he's like. Just doing this, but I was like, no, I could see a psychotic motherfucker just doing the same kind of thing if he had that kind of control. Just being like, you know, I'm controlling everyone here, and then you guys can shoot at me. Bang, bang, you're dead. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. But, you know, after that whole ordeal is over and they burn up Big Boss, quote unquote, and all that other stuff, that's the end of Act 3. And we move on to Act 4.
Which I think I'm in the very small minority about this act.
I think, I do see your point in this act. All right, so this is the act where you revisit Shadow Moses, where you're going back to the locale of the first Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how cool was it when you got to play his dream.
That was definitely awesome. A nice touch.
I flipped out. It was like, and it's like the, it even like my television even flashed out and then flashed back on, like it was changing video.
Yeah, it did. I noticed that
mine
too.
The same.
It probably
and
was. I was,
and it didn't really, it didn't change resolution or anything, and it didn't like my TV didn't do it what it would normally do when that kind of stuff happens. It didn't like pop up with like this is a video when you're on and all that crap, but then it pops into like MGS1 for the PS1.
Yeah,
you know, PS1 graphics and all, and I'm like, total holy crap, this is awesome!
At the very beginning, yeah, that was cool. I think they did it just the amount of enough time too, because I was like, how much are they going to let you play this before they get out? And it was just like literally the first 30 seconds or so once you get inside the base, basically.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. As soon as you start crawling through the air duct, it cuts out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, I just thought that part was so cool, and
it gave you a good contrast of what was like back then, like controls and camera and what it looked like.
Yeah.
It's like, let's take the first one. And,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
see, this is kind of like the fan service act. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
One of the yes. Oh, acts. Oh yeah.
And this is exactly why I liked it so much. But
I was so pumped for this. It's like, you know, you're going back to Shadow Moses and I'm like, awesome. And then we get to play you know, the fit, and that's like, awesome. And then you wake up from the dream. Awesome. And, awesome. But then, The areas that you revisit aren't the most memorable ones. They weren't the my favorite parts from the game, which was kind of a letdown.
Yeah, my big gripe with this one is I didn't like, because the only things you fight in this stage besides the boss battles are those testicle rolly ball things, which take place
with cameras,
and the geckos. So I just found it was just kind of, I wanted, like, I don't know, because of the nostalgia, I just wanted so much potential to come. I wanted to be, like, searching around and CQCing guys who are, like,
you wanted a remake paid homage of the first game.
That's I basically wanted the first game again, but with, like, the new boss or whatever. That's basically what I wanted. And I found go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mm-mm. I was going to say, this is also, I thought it was kind of too easy, because once I realized I had chaff grenades, I just threw them in the room, and then when you do that, those little ball things can't do anything, and I just ran right to the end of the rooms or whatever. So I got to the boss in that level really quick.
Yes, you said you had four chaff grenades. I only had two.
I had one.
I think I had three.
I had two, and I used it in the first room when you get into the first area where you see them.
Yeah.
So I used it in there.
Mm-hmm. That's when
and
I used
then
one.
the next time I used it was. Trying to remember when it was. It was one room where you had to basically go to one side of the room and you find out that the door was locked, and you go to the other side of the room and there's an elevator, like a service elevator.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, I know which. Yeah, yeah.
There's one spot where there's only like two or three of them, and they're like roaming around, and just for fun, I was like, you know, I'm going to shoot one and see. And I had a silencer on and everything.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot one and just see what happens. And this one had like, it was the room that has the grates on the ground that you will actually fall into.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I shot, that grate, just they like poured out. It had to be like 20 of them.
They didn't stop.
I was like, holy crap. And wouldn't you know that I killed them all?
Did you really?
Oh my god!
I pulled out the RPG and I just shot it, and it knocked me the fuck back. But it killed all of them. And then all of a sudden, the caution thing went away, and I was like, "Oh, okay." And I just went through the room.
As it turns out, they're really easy to hide from.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Anytime that you can get into like a little crawl space or something, they're like, "Oh, where did he go? What was that noise?"
And if you shoot them faster than they see, like they're. They pretty much take up like just like they're the cameras in Metal Gear 4, basically, because there are no cameras in Metal Gear Solid 4, which is kind of also kind of weird. So these kind of are them, the ones that are sticking to the wall, kind of looking around. Mm-hmm. If you take out those ones really quick, they take like about three shots, they won't see you. And the little ones walking around, they're kind of, as long as you take them out with none of them around them, it's pretty easy. And if you take out all the ones that are in the room, no more respawn, which is good.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't have that much luck. But,
no, because that part that Chris was talking about, I was like, how am I going to beat this? This is impossible. They kept coming. I was getting frustrated. And I was like, I'm actually going to take this slow. And I took, there's only three of them in that room to start. And I took all three of them out at different times. And that was like, no other ones came.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember now if I had a silencer on there, if I had a suppressor on there, because
I definitely did.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I don't think I did, because I didn't actually start using the suppressor for the like on a regular basis for the sniper rifle until my second playthrough.
Oh, okay.
So
anytime I'd hit one that was just rolling around on the ground, the alert would come up regardless of whether I had a suppressor on. If I shot at one that was on the wall, that was like a camera, those I could shoot out without a problem.
But the ones that are rolling, you have to shoot them really quick. Like, just put it on, I always usually put the one bullet, and it's clicked, like, really fast 3 times, even though it does shoot off slower, but each bullet's, like a direct hit, basically, because they're not, it's not on automatic. And as long as they blow up before they face you, the alarm won't go off.
Oh, okay.
Or their little warning.
Good to know.
Okay.
Hey, question for you guys.
Yeah.
The part where you run into the door that you can't open, and you have to go down the elevator and, you know, reboot everything, basically. And you come back up, and the Mark II is trying to open the door for you, and that gecko comes down.
Yep. Yes.
Did you guys kill that?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I ran. And once the door was open, I ran through the door.
Yeah.
Well, I had Jason, the grenade launcher at that point. So you take out its legs. That takes like two shots, and then its head is left open. Because if you have the solid eye equipped, you can see its weak points. You see the two knees, and then you also see a little bit on the top of its head.
See, I tried to take it out.
Because
you fire I fired the RPG at it, and the RPG just shot straight up into the ceiling.
Yeah, that's what happened to me too.
The what?
So at that point, RPG.
What?
The RPG.
The RPG shot straight up into the ceiling.
Yeah, it was weird. The same thing happened to me.
It deflected it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, if it deflected or what. Every time I shot it, it would go off. When I shot a grenade launcher, it did the same thing. So I just kept, I was like, I don't think I can take this thing down. And so I just kept running around in circles, basically.
And that's exactly what I did, too. But, that makes sense, though. If you can, I mean, if maybe the grenades don't get deflected. The RPG, the rocket launcher, definitely got deflected.
Yeah,
and I noticed that, I think that there's two different types of geckos. One of them has, like, a darker head.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones with the darker head deflect the missiles. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I know that the first time that I tried to, I shot out its legs and then it hit the ground and I kept shooting it, but it wasn't hitting its head area. Like it had flopped back a little bit or something like that. So I was just pouring grenades into this thing and it still wouldn't die. Nice. But then I walked around it and its head was exposed and shot it once. Dead.
It was dead. Now, was that after the MK2 opened the door or before?
It was before.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I liked it. One thing I loved about the Shadow Moses level was when you'd be walking around and be all quiet, and then it'll start just flashbacks, but only audio would be playing as you're walking around the rooms and stuff. That was so awesome, especially when you go down to that the room where, you know, where you usually fire that missile off, and you had to guide it around to hit the generator to stop the electrical things, you know, at that part where you have to go down and then the gecko ends up coming out and you gotta like run away. That was cool. And they're talking about how like, oh, don't worry, you don't have to turn off the electrical grates this time, they should be off. And I don't know, this is cool. That part of the level I loved.
What'd you guys think of the boss?
Way too easy.
Did you trank or kill?
I always kill them up until the point where they're in human form, and then I trank them at that point. That's what I usually did. And so, basically,
we didn't even talk about Raven.
Yeah,
in Act
we got to talk about that.
No, we didn't even talk about Raven. Yeah, she was Act 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Raven was a pain in the ass the second time around for me.
Really?
Yeah, but just because I tranked them.
Okay.
The first time through, I killed the first form of Octopus and tranked the second, and then Raven, I tranked both, but. The thing was that all the other ones that are flying around were just, you know, in the way the whole time. And it was just a pain in the ass. So I kept switching from the Trank Sniper to like the P90 or something like that. I would go back and forth and just, because I'd have to take out the other ones before I could get to Raven.
Right.
But Raven is the hottest. Sorry.
Raven was pretty hot, yeah.
She was the hottest to me.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed. I mean,
no, of course not. Yeah, exactly. But
she was. I mean, after Octopus, I was disappointed with the actual boss battle of Raven because it was not nearly as epic.
Me too. That's what I think. I think they put the best, one of the best boss battles right up front, and then that kind of raised the standard, and then it was kind of like, okay, none of them really met that.
It was a letdown after the motorcycle sequence. And then even, you know, once you get into, you know, was it like a cathedral or something? I forget what it was. Yeah. But you start inside of the building and you're seeing them fly around, you know, through the windows, and you're like, oh shit, this is going to suck. They start, you know, breaking through the walls and whatnot. But you just had to go up to the top.
Yeah.
You know, you had full view, you had good cover, you know, you never had to go back inside of the building. I'm like, oh.
No. Equip the RPG. When she stays still, fire.
Yeah.
Strafe.
Yeah, see.
Or strafe.
The second time around, the first time around, I tranked her and I didn't realize where the action figures were going to pop up or when. So when I did the first time, I tranked her and then immediately tranked the second form. The second time around, I tranked her and then went to the very top and found the action figure. And then I started tranking her as she starts hauling ass towards me. But man, as she was walking, the building was just crumbling.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, as she was walking towards me, like the pillars from the building, because I was at the top where you guys are saying you fought the first form. That's where I was fighting her. And as she walked by like a column or something, it would just explode. And I was like, dude, this bitch is crazy. But, I mean, that was the coolest part about fighting her was the fact that, you know, the whole rage thing just like came out when she was in her beauty form and just started blowing shit up left and right. I was like, man, this is really cool.
Sorry, I missed that. Dang. That's
cool. Yeah, I missed maybe that.
Go get your action figures. But then Crying Wolf was kind of easy.
Yeah, it was just easy as long as you took out the frogs beforehand, and then because she wouldn't spawn new frogs for a bit, so you take them out first. Just look for her with the night vision. It's another reason why I didn't think I appreciated that level as much, because that whole boss fight I had night vision on almost, so I couldn't see. And that was a good looking level, like this. The outdoor parts of it are gorgeous. Yep. And then just following her footprints if you couldn't find her or whatnot, and you know, it was kind of simple, especially if you're going up in the buildings. If she was anywhere near those buildings, you could easily get the upper hand. Just kind of snipe her from a distance, and she won't even see you.
About halfway through, I got bored with just waiting for us. Actually, went down and just started tracking her. It was a lot quicker.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, she'd probably get like one shot off on me, but you get up and you hit her 2-3 times. It's like
exactly.
Right. But there is something really great that comes from this boss battle.
What?
The fucking railgun, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, true. You do get the real guy.
That thing is awesome.
Freaking badass.
It's like it shows like the amount of power that each weapon has when you start going through them. And it's like the rail gun is like 5,000.
Over 9,000. It can take out a gecko in one shot. That's how strong it is.
Yeah, if you charge it up. Yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome. Let's see. But then after
you fight you know,
wolf battle is kind of boring, you're right. And then you go and you run into Vamp.
Yeah.
And
Vamp and Naomi.
Because
Naomi has turned at this point, so. Well, not turned, I guess. She's kind of wants you dead, but she doesn't want you dead, but she wants you dead. But she doesn't want you dead. It's messed.
Yeah, I thought she was really hot up until the point when she was rubbing on Vamp's chest. I'm like,
That's when I lost it. Yeah, that's when I'm like, okay.
You know,
not cool
I was
with her
there
anymore.
With you, and I thought you were hot, and now it's just gone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, Vamp was meh.
Yeah, he was easy, but I like at least he had a little. I liked the little trick how to kill him. Like you had to finish him off with a syringe,
right? And actually, it took me a minute to. It took me a little while to figure that out.
It took me two. I dropped them twice, and I was like, okay, there's got to be something to do. What is?
Yeah, I dropped him like four times. Yeah. You know,
he dropped them.
I was like, I said I dropped him like four times.
Yeah,
I seriously was just like, how the fuck do I do this? What's going on?
And I was just dropping him just because I was like, I don't know what else to do.
I
was dropping him just for the fun of it to kill time until I'm like,
what the hell? Yeah, after about two or three, I'm like, what is in my inventory that would possibly have any effect on him? I was like, oh, I'll try the syringe thing because I know you see you can stab people with it if you don't have the knife. So I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Because first I tried the knife and slitting his throat didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, syringe.
It actually took me a couple tries to get that right, though.
Did it?
I don't know if I just wasn't as experienced with CQC as I needed to be, but I would try and go up behind them and get them, and it just would not
All you'd have to
me.
Do is just knock them down with your gun, like shoot them, and stand right beside him as he's getting up. And then once he stands up, no matter what angle you're on, in front of him to the side or whatever, just hold down R1, you'll grab him right away. Mm-hmm. There's only a few characters that would reverse it if you went from the front. Vamp wasn't one of them.
Gotcha.
Well, anyway, after you kill Vamp, what the hell happens?
Oh, suicide geckos.
Naomi kills herself.
Yeah, Naomi kills herself, and we get our obligatory whining Otacon.
Oh man, that was so annoying. I was like, Naomi, dude, just shut the fuck up.
That was the first cutscene that I'm just like, dude, okay, let's just. Naomi. Well, this is not happening. Let's just pass this. This is annoying. I hated that.
Naomi.
However, all was redeemed because you know what? You get to hop in fucking Metal Gear Rex.
That's right.
And you get to run down a tunnel shooting geckos and shit. And it's just, it's like fucking Godzilla, dude.
Yeah.
It's,
so you're controlling a Metal Gear. That is just badass. And I've been kicking myself for doing this because I watched a little bit of the making of, even though it says spoilers all over it, before getting to that part. Because it did a really good job. Like, it said, it only showed spoilers before a chapter that would actually have spoilers. And like, okay, well, I just want to see the very beginning of this segment, just to whatever. And one of the first things they show is a clip of two Metal Gears fighting each other. I'm like, no, didn't want to see that. And I just immediately turned it off. And so I don't think that scene had that much of an effect, as big as it would be if I saw that for the first time. But I still
when Ray popped out of the water, I was just like, no way. And you start fighting Ray, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
No shit. The HUD comes up, and you're like, I get to control this fight?
Yeah.
And I actually had to pause and go have a cigarette. I'm like, this is going to be epic. This is going to be awesome. Great.
Yeah. And, this, and it was, smashing into walls.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Breaking through
Knocking
walls
down,
and pillars.
Yeah, little buildings and shit. Damn,
did you have any other weapons besides the Gatling gun? I mean, I know there's some sort of special attack you're supposed to be able to
do. No, you had the missiles, the heat-seeking missiles, and the water cutter.
Oh shit, I didn't even use those.
Yeah, I just used the Gatling gun.
The Rex had the water cutter?
Yeah, it's badass. It's like, it was amazing. You charge it up. It worked kind of like the railgun. You charge it up, the mouth would open, and you'd shoot out this blue beam. And it basically was like, you can track, like it would like probably about last 5 seconds of this beam. But if you got it on, if you beat it, Ray for the entire time, it would just like drain his health and drop him like right away.
That's cool.
And then when he's dropped, you switch the missiles and smoke him with the missiles.
I guess I did it the hard way then.
I guess.
Yeah, I just used the railgun the whole time.
Oh, well.
Oh, really?
Or the Gatling gun.
Weird.
Yeah. But yeah, that was cool. Very, very cool. Then what happens? Let's see. That's the end of...
Raiden comes to save
you. No. Then Raiden comes in.
Yeah.
And cuts his arm and saves you.
And stops...
And a huge whale-ish...
Boat. Submarine ship thing. And that was the point when I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
I was like, I understand Raiden's a badass,
even by MGS standards.
I wasn't even at quite, oh my God, at that point. I was at, oh my God, where you see him get crushed, he disappears, and then the beginning of Act 5, they're like, oh, how's Raiden? Oh, he'll be fine. Like, what? he'll be fine? He was crushed by a fucking, like, 6,000-ton boat. How's that fine?
I guess I didn't see that. Because I thought it was pretty epic that he showed up, even because he was lost in the water at that point.
Was it? Didn't he show up with the? Maybe I'm talking about afterwards.
Yeah,
maybe jumping ahead. I just remember the part where Snake asked what? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's before Act 5. They're on the barge of the thing, and they're like, ship?
That's during the intro of Act 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I could swear someone's like, oh, how's Ryan? And they're like, oh, he'll be okay.
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I missed that.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, such a huge surprise that he came back in Act 5. Which we'll get to in a minute.
We might as well get to now, because we're going right to that, right?
Yeah, I think so. We done with Act 4?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Act 5, I was so excited. We're going to go to that big whale of a ship. I'm like, this Metal Gear Solid 2, the beginning, this is going to be awesome. This scene's going to be amazing. It's going to be like, oh, old Metal Gear. I hated Act 5. I'm just going to say it. I didn't like Act 5 at all. I thought it had the most potential. The Witch, Chris?
I thought it was just boring.
Yeah. They didn't use it. Complaint number one, they started off you on the ship with all the enemies knowing you're there, which I hated, because right from the beginning you're like, oh crap, they know I'm here, they're coming after me.
Actually,
so automatically
Apparently, they don't.
You can't sneak.
They're in caution mode or whatever. Yeah, they're in caution mode,
but they're looking for you.
Yeah. Right. The problem with that is that once you get, if you get to alert status, you never go back.
Yeah, you can't. Unless you're a ninja.
Did you get out of it?
Unless you're Jason.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, unless you're Jason and you're just awesome like that, you never go back.
No, you get up on one of the railings, actually. And provided you've killed enough of them and you're not in one of like the respawn areas, I think there's like two spots where they keep like just hopping out of from like nowhere.
Yeah.
Just appear out of wherever. If you're in between one of those and you kill everyone in sight, then yeah, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing that annoyed me about Act 5 is just like respawn after respawn. It's after respawn. It's like, you didn't do this in any of the other areas. Why are you doing it here?
Yeah, now.
And you know, did they respawn at a spot like before that with enemies?
I
can't think of one.
Yeah.
Even the geckos like were respawning.
Like, oh, wait, no, they did because in Act 2.
Yeah, the power plant.
They respawned. Yeah, power plant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was like that was part of the battle sequence though between the rebels and the PMCs. I mean, this is the first time they actually respawn guys that are coming after you, and only you.
Even geckos are respawning.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
drove me nuts. Well, and
I
won't
say
door.
That I didn't die 30 times at least. And
I died.
That was probably the most frustrating part of the entire game for me. I mean,
yeah. And it frustrated me because I wanted to play it stealthy. I'm like, this is cool. There's a lot of stuff to hide behind. And I just couldn't do it because no matter what I did, I got like somebody saw me at some point. I'd be like, screw this. To the point where I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go in there with my rail gun, shoot as many geckos as I can, run to that door and get that door open as fast as possible. Just run through. Cue cutscene. That's 25 minutes. So that's kind of.
So let's get to the good part of Act 5, which was the boss battle. At least
not
I
bad.
Thought
it was. Oh, yeah. Not bad.
I actually liked the
Psycho Mantis nods.
Yeah. Totally. I liked the fact that she had two different dolls and that you could knock the dolls out of her hands and then turn around and use the dolls on her.
Yes.
Which what really freaked me out about that is that, you know, you spend all this time knocking the dolls out of her hands and then after you do that, you use one against her and she like dies instantly.
Yeah.
I just found that unusual.
It was kind of cool. I like how there's like a lot of stages to her. Like, use the syringe on yourself first so she can't control you. Then Trank, Meryl.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so Meryl's not shooting herself for you. And it's cool how they brought that back again. It's cool. At the same time, you also feel it's kind of lazy because it just did like, it's the same boss battle.
Kind of,
Like, using her because, like, Psycho Mantis did the same thing, got her up to come at you with a gun. Then after that didn't work, she tried to get her shoot herself in the face. That didn't work.
So, did both you guys both try to switch to, like, controller port 2 or whatever? Like,
yes,
reassign controller to 2, like, as soon as the boss battle started?
No, I waited a little bit first, and then I was like, okay.
I did
okay,
right away. That was the first thing I did, and I'm like, I got the codec call from Otacon, and it's like, it's not going to work.
What are you doing?
Like, shit. It was still funny, though.
I didn't do that. I'm going to try it, though, the next time I get to her, because I want to actually hear that sequence of
it's pretty funny. Otacon talking. They basically call you an idiot.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I want to listen to it.
Well, yeah, and then Campbell calls too, and he's like, "You've got to switch your controller for it."
The funny thing is, it's coming from like you're talking to what's her face? Rose?
Yeah, Rose. Right,
and whatever.
Like,
and then in the background's like, you got to turn it off, or you got to switch it to port 2.
I loved all the freaky stuff that happened during the fight, though. Like, it switches your video port, your video feed.
Yeah, I noticed
and,
that too.
And it goes to Hideo 2 or Hideo something like 2. That. And there was one other, it like restarts the game. What? Did you guys see that one?
No.
Yeah, there was one where it actually made it look like it restarted the game.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It it didn't show, I'm trying to think of what logo it showed because it wasn't, it was what you usually see, but changed a little. You know, just like it's instead of Video 2, it said Hideo 2.
Yeah.
But. It starts doing like the entering sequence to the game itself, like showing the logos and everything. But the logos are just a little different.
Yeah. Neat,
and that was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
And so then the big nod to Psycho Mantis, which I thought was hilarious.
Was it a nod or was it a cop out? What do you guys think?
After you beat her?
Yeah, after you beat her, and Psycho Mantis pops up and he does the same tricks.
Oh, total nod! I loved it.
Total nod. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
I think there's a bit of column A, column B.
Yeah. The thing is, though, and Jason, you brought this up to my attention. The next time I get to that boss battle, I'm using a six axis instead of the dual shock.
I want to see what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best, though. And he's like, Rumble is back!
Yeah, Rumble is back.
And then he's like, oh, wait, there's no memory card.
Yeah.
Guys, it spoiled the game.
But yeah, that was good stuff. I think it's the nod to Psycho Mantis is what made that boss battle my favorite in the game, mm-hmm. with Octopus a very close second. But yeah. the battle itself, Octopus couldn't be beat.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And then we get to the rest of the boredom.
Well, you gotta do that one where you gotta go through those microwaves, which apparently kill everybody but Snake.
Yeah.
Tears the shit out of his suit, but not his face. Uh-huh. He gets through. And then, fast forward, then you fight Liquid.
Which was kind of cool.
I liked that, actually.
That was fun. I liked how they did it.
It was epic. I mean, it was simple. It was the throwback to, you know, the fights on top of Rex, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But damn if it wasn't cinematic as hell, and I didn't think they'd be able to do that. But I mean, you're throwing these really huge punches, and it's all like bullet time, slow mo.
Yeah,
chin's like dripping sweat and stuff, and mouth. It was cool. It was really.
I love the way they changed the soundtracks. Yeah,
the way they moved the soundtracks around various stages.
The way the game looked, like when you're fighting him first, it's like Metal Gear 1, so it's a little bit kind of darker. Then when it goes to Metal Gear 2, when it's like you start hearing the seagulls.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit lighter. I thought that was cool because it's like when you're on the shell in two, that's all you hear is seagulls.
Oh, that's true.
Like that was really cool. And their names change and their energy bars. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
The only thing that really got me about this is that at the end of Act 3, Liquid totally destroys Snake when it comes to the CQC. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, here you are fighting his ass and beating the shit out of him.
Yep.
And I think that was the only thing that really got me.
Mano.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're equals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it was still pretty cool. And, you know, good way to end it off. It was, again, a nod to Metal Gear 1, like Jason said.
Mm-hmm. Putting the liquid. And then all right, that's it. Yeah, I don't even know if I want to go there. Yeah.
None of us liked the ending. We should point that out.
Yeah,
there's probably a couple of us that like really hated the ending.
I didn't realize they hired Walt Disney to write this ending.
Yeah,
right.
And have everything.
Did you guys see Ewoks? Because I swear I saw Ewoks in there.
the Ewoks were replaced by the little testicles, and you took them all out dancing on the way around to the microwave room.
Yeah, exactly. Rolling into them.
That's right.
You guys kept running and rolling.
Pretty much. I tried to take some of them out, but they just kept coming back. And I'm like, you know what? That's retarded.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we won't get too much into the ending, whatever, but I think Kojima just really shit the bed and really...
eat the bed.
When it comes to the ending, no, he really pussied out and just kind of got scared.
He made everything happy-go-lucky.
He made everything happy to the point that even characters you didn't even really know about, like the whole Rat Patrol O1, like... they were barely even in the game, and they were all having a good time at this wedding, which Marilyn Akiba decided to get married right after Act 5. Like, oh, you want to marry me? Which, by the way, was a pretty cool scene when they're doing that whole Mr. and Mrs. Smith
thing. That was a cool scene. That was cool.
But they had to get married right after. It's like, oh, we landed. Oh, we got to get married.
I thought she wanted to have a wedding.
Yeah, she said she wanted a real wedding. And then she has this, like, whatever you want to call it. By the way, okay.
Yeah.
Meryl in this game, totally hot.
A man.
Oh yeah,
Meryl in a wedding dress.
Fuck you!
Totally a transvestite.
Exactly. That's what I was alluding to.
She's totally a transvestite, dude.
Transvestite my ass.
Chick's got bigger shoulders than me. What the hell?
She's huge.
This is stemming from your jealousy. Do you need to? You're such an alpha male, Chris. My God.
Even Crystal said.
And so
it.
Was Meryl.
And Crystal
apparently.
Thought Meryl was hot as hell, man. She's like, I'm gonna cosplay as Meryl next year, and all of a sudden she's like, she looks like a man.
Yeah.
Fuck all y'all.
The thing that pissed me off most is they kept everyone alive minus the evil people and Naomi, who was kind of evil. But the fact that they
died.
But not only did Raiden come back and live, He has both of his arms back on, human, mind you, and his bottom half of his jaw, which was basically non-existent through the whole game. And then he has that again. And he's got his arms, he's got scars everywhere. And his wife, who he thought left him for Campbell, all of a sudden didn't really leave him for Campbell. Campbell was just doing that to hide them, protect them from whatever. Now he's got his wife back and the kid. And he has a new, oh, he has a baby boy now. He has like a kid who, you know, so they live happily ever after. And
see, here we go with the whole happy-go-lucky bullshit again.
And,
that's what I'm talking
and the,
about.
And even the girl, Sunny, she's like, oh, yeah, she lives inside all day. And now she's outside. Oh, my God, she has a friend now who just happens to be her age. And like, I was told you guys
the
through
metal
email.
Gear.
I'm like,
to the what? Foreign boy, whom I can't understand his language.
Exactly. And I told you guys a joke, but I was really expecting, like, at the end of that wedding sequence, to have Liquid Snake walk up with, like, a thing of homemade cupcakes and be like, I'm sorry, guys, I was a big douchebag over the years. Can we just take all of this and just throw it behind us? Because, really, I think you guys are actually pretty cool, and I think we should hang out some more. And I swear I won't be an asshole. Like, I really expected that. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
and then even the whole snake thing, he copped out like, okay, spoiler show, I don't care. Snake does not kill himself. Snake does not die. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want him to kill himself. I think that'd be terrible because it's like, okay, I got to kill myself, whatever. I would rather him die in a different way. Like, maybe him and Liquid kill each other at the same time or something like that. Like, or something along those lines. But then to bring back Big Boss and Zero and have them come over and just, how many times did Big Boss die in that scene? Like five? There's like five times I thought he was dead. I'm like, okay, finally.
Well, yeah, and like, it seems like, you know, his words are like, you know, his final words or something like that.
Yeah. But he's like, oh, Snake, live your life. Oh, yes.
You know what it reminds me of? Did you see, okay, this is totally off the wall. Did you see Shrek 3?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah.
Where the in Shrek 3, the king, the frog king, dies, and he dies like eight times.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he like all of a sudden gasps for the and then has something else to say. But it's just, I don't know, everything was so happy-go-lucky. It's like, oh,
it was just too,
you know,
happy.
We made
a
real clone of Big Boss.
It
really
was like, oh,
I think it was.
Yeah, it totally was. It was, oh, I just honestly, it was like they did such a good job with all the cinematics and getting all this, like Metal Gear's always been a mature game.
We've been building this. I've been fully expecting Snake to die at the end of this game for years now. You know, I mean, that's how they've been pumping it up. That, you know, that in all the scenes, you know, we see him putting the, you know, the gun to his mouth. I've been mentally fucking preparing myself for this, and I'm ready for it to happen. And Otacon even said it. He's like, you know, Snake's led a hard life. You know, this is it. This is the closing of the chapter, and they fucking took it out.
They blew it.
Son of a bitch.
And not only
just
that,
deflating.
He's no longer a walking weapon of mass destruction because
that's
his old nano machines are being taken over by the new nano machines, so he's going to be fine.
And wait. But then it gets worse. Then he says he's going to quit smoking.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because then that's right.
Fuck you, Snake. Yeah. That's like part of your personality. You can't quit smoking. Okay.
I don't think they actually did the whole smoking thing to the extreme in 4. It was almost like an advertisement for smoking.
Almost. It was funny, though.
But it pissed me right off. The whole ending, like, people are like, oh my God, the ending is so epic, whatever. It was well presented in terms of it was fun to watch and be like, it looks nice, and it's a long ending. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. I can see why people would be like, that length equals, you know, quality, which in this case, I don't think it did, because, okay, I made fun of the Halo 3 ending really, like, okay, I don't care, we're spoiling that, because if you haven't beat Halo 3 by now, and then whatever, then you're never going to beat it, basically. But they don't kill off Master Chief, and I was actually kind of pissed off about that. But at least they make it look like to the other characters that he's dead, and also they killed off like three of the main characters throughout that series in like the last two missions of that game. So even though it was still kind of a happier ending, I'm like, dude, this, like, seriously, like, it made Halo look like the most depressing movie ending you've ever seen. I was like, ugh. every time we get to this point of the game, I'm just like, oh, fuck, man.
I know. It pisses me off because, you know what? It's all redundant.
We have this huge build-up
with Snake dying for one. Okay. Two, we're trying to stop Liquid from, you know, from taking over the Patriots or whatever.
Yeah.
Only to find out that, you know, the end result is what he wanted in the first place.
Exactly. it makes everything moot. It's like, why did I do this? Why did I play this game? what is all this? What is all this backstory?
See, that goes back to the whole AI thing, and I think his entire point was just to take out JD, and not, you know, and has still have control of GW, whereas the worm that they put into GW that took out everything, apparently they were able to reverse the damage to the major systems to make life still the way it was supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was kind of Sonny's doing too, but his intention, you know, because this was predetermined before he even kind of took on Liquid's persona as Ocelot, as a Patriot. They made a conscious decision to, you know, to take out the AI system, right?
Yeah.
And this is what they wanted all along.
Mm-hmm. And there's no sacrifice at the end. Like, I can understand a happy ending if they killed off Snake and was like, okay, we'll always now remember Snake because if it wasn't for him, this wouldn't be a reality right now. We wouldn't have this kind of thing, you know? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kijima tried to, because then they could hide into, like, it's like a Christianity and the whole Jesus thing, but it's, like, they didn't. They just kept everything, I don't know, just, bleh. I hated Metal Gear Solid 4. It sucks. No one buy it. I'm just kidding, people. No, it's fucking awesome. Just the ending is just, some people are going to love it. I know some people are going to say we're crazy for not liking it, and this is why. They took a mature rated theme game from the beginning, like a lot of people die, a lot of whatever.
And turned it into a Disney movie.
They turned it into a Disney movie at the end.
See, I would have been happy. Okay, wedding sequence, don't care. That aside, all right, that can happen, fine. Raiden with no arms shouldn't be like that. Okay, Raiden should have had one arm because they don't ever actually show him losing a second arm.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And fighting with the sword in his fucking mouth? No, come on, give me a break. But then, you know, if you put Raiden with one arm...
What the fuck?
What?
Since when can Raiden shoot lightning?
I don't know. But, okay, so if you leave him with one arm, and then at the end of the game, he still has one arm, I'm fine with that.
Exactly. Okay?
You give him back his wife, whatever, I don't care, as long as he still has one arm. All right,
yeah.
But giving them both back and all that other crap, bullshit. Snake needed to die, and not that I wanted him to, but this game needed Snake to die, and they set it up for a perfect reason why he should die. You know, they give you this reason like, in 3 months you will be a weapon of mass destruction, but then, oh, you're not anymore, you know, it's just like.
And it was just simple. That's exactly how they answered it. It was just simple. It was Snake saying to Big Boss, oh, well, what's going to happen? Now, apparently, Snake sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But not Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, because that was terrible. Whatever.
I was going to say.
Tired here. This is like dragging on forever. But he basically says, oh, what about my disease? Big Boss like, oh, yeah, about that. Don't worry. You're fine. Live life. Light my cigar.
Live life. Why? What does he have to fucking look forward to? Don't you think that would be even more depressing in a small way for Snake?
Yeah, because he's been born and bred
on the battlefield. All he knows, he's been preparing himself for an early death. You know, he's practically said goodbye to everyone for the most part. And now he's like, okay, I get to watch Otacon hang out on the beach with Sonny playing volleyball with some ethnic kid. And you know, I get to wear Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I want to revisit something because this is something that I actually thought that was kind of weird. Did you guys feel like something was missing in Act 3? And the reason I say this is because after you fight, you fight Octopus, and then there's gameplay after before the end of the act. You fight Wolf, and there's gameplay afterwards before the end of the act. You fight Psycho Mantis or whatever. Psycho Raging. Mantis 2, and there's gameplay after, before the end of the act. However, you fight Raven, you go into the underground aqueduct, one of the little roly testicle things sees you.
Yeah.
Eva says there will be less, you know, there will be less guards down there. Right. But then all of a sudden,
you don't play anything.
You're at the end of it.
Yeah.
Was it just me, or was there something missing?
Well, I think they did that was basically just to... They might have cut something out, who knows. But I think they kind of got away with it because that was before the whole Liquid Ocelot boat thing, right? That was right before that.
Yeah.
I think they're just throwing that little creepy thing to say, like, oh, they know where his end result was going to be, like where he was going trying to get to.
Right, but what Chris is saying is there should have been some gameplay in between there.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah.
I definitely feel like there was another area that could have been put there.
I don't think it needed it.
It's supposed to.
Because it would
did it need it? No, it didn't need it, but it would have been nice.
Okay.
We have talked for way too long.
Yeah, it's ridiculously long.
I mean, I don't even know what to say right now because we're approaching 3 hours.
And the sad part is there's a bunch of stuff I want to touch on that we didn't even bring up or mention, so enough about that.
So, Jason, I hope you can work some magic with this.
I think we're... I don't know what to do at this point. Because seriously, it's gone on so long that it's like we could make a little special out of it.
Yeah.
Like I can play excerpts from it, like during the main show, and just say, you know, tune in a couple days or whatever. I don't know what to do. Let's just keep on
trekking and then figure it out.
Yeah.